All right, so I'm excited to share. I'm still working on it. Teen to 30s weekend is coming up here in a couple weekends. I'm getting the opportunity to share so some of the things I'm looking at. Sure, it's still in its infancy, but I'm excited to share today. So we're going to start in Ephesians. So go ahead and get yourself ready in Ephesians. This comes from a couple different things I've been looking at. One of which was originally here, what we're going to look at in Ephesians 1, is just looking at what it is that glorifies God. You know, there's a lot of different things that glorify God, you know, different responses of our heart towards Him and His goodness. You see it in the Psalms, you know, where they sing praises, they play instruments. There's that aspect of it. There's this thing, having a heart of thanksgiving. But one of the amazing things in this day and age is the body of Christ, which God has put together, tempered together, as it pleased Him. And we're going to see in Ephesians in a minute that that body of Christ is to the praise of God. But one of the things overreaching that I want to see before we're done this morning is just, and one of the things that's really kind of been reproving to my heart and really good for my heart over the last couple weeks as I've been thinking about this stuff, is that, you know, we all want to be doers of the word. Am I right? And that's, there's not one of you in this room that doesn't want to be a doer of the word. I know you, you know, and that's why you're here. That's why you come together, is to be a doer of the word. And I know myself, and maybe hopefully only myself, so I'll be open about it. Sometimes I can get so focused on trying to be a doer of the word that, you know, I know the things I need to do. I need to, you know, what might be something we should do to be a doer of the word? Something.
Pray.
Great. Right. Exactly. Read the word. Right. Might be another thing. And all of that, of course, is absolutely true. Where I find myself sometimes is trying to so be a doer of the word in my own life, where I'm trying to improve me, and that's not what God's looking for, is gym improvement. But I want to show you what He is interested in, and where the focus should be, right? So, starting in Ephesians chapter 1, this is where we're going to start first, and we're going to look at 3 through 6. I'm going to read it. It says here, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved One. Okay, so where in there is anything that you or I did?
Nowhere,
right? You can't find it. So He did it according to the good pleasure of His will, and it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace is glorious, and what He did in Christ, in this body of Christ, praises and glorifies His glorified grace. You see? So it's all Him, and then He did it. He put it together in this body of Christ, and that body of Christ displays His glory and grace. Pretty awesome. Verse 11, jump down to verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Right? Love that. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. There that is again. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is that earnest or that down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of a purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Right? I love this. This is perhaps where we come in, and that is simply that we believed. We at some point heard the gospel. We believed. We trusted in what it was that God said he did. And when we did, we received the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is a token of the full inheritance that we have coming, right? And it's all to the praise of his glory, right? It's awesome. So if you look up the word praise, primarily, you know, one of the main places I found it was right in this section in the New Testament regarding the church. And we are, it doesn't say we need to do this, that, and the other thing in order to praise God. We are to the praise of his glory because this was his plan. He put it together. It's perfect. And as it stands, it glorifies him. Kind of makes sense, seeing as we are the body of Christ. And what does Christ do? Glorify God, right? Mm-hmm. But we're part of that body. It's incredible. So as members of this body of Christ, we are to the praise of God's grace. That's who we've been made. It's part of our identity now. So we want to live this thing, right? We want to be doers of the word. One of the sections that Sean asked me to go to for, or at least suggested we go to for teen to 30s, I don't know if we're going to go to it today, but it's John 13, where it's our Lord's example by washing the feet of his disciples, right? So he goes, he's the master and the Lord, he's the greatest one among them, right? And yet he puts himself down to the level of a servant to wash the feet of his people. Okay, and shows them love and respect in that way. And then, let's just go there. John 13. We will go there. So we know what happened there, and Peter has a problem with it for a minute, but then Jesus tells him, this is what you got to do. This is how you, this is, you know, you have no part with me if you don't get this. Verse 12 in chapter 13 of John, it says, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I love that. You're blessed if you do these things. You know? And here he's laying out the example. I have a feeling he wasn't like, you know, taking the towel and being like, you know, kind of like washing their feet, being like, okay, you know, gosh, get this over with. I got to show them an example, you know. He, that's not our Lord's heart, right? He's bending down there, loving these men, lovingly taking care of their feet, being concerned legitimately about them. But not only that, but then at the end, he's teaching them something, and that is that's the heart he wants them to have for one another. Later on in the gospel, he says that the world will know we're his disciples, his disciplined one, by the love that we have for one another. Doesn't even say for the world. Well, although God has a lot of love for the world, so much that he gave his only begotten son, right? But the love that we show one to another in this body of Christ, that is the thing that would declare to the world that we're his disciplined ones, we're his disciples. Isn't that neat? And so he's showing this by example. He's shown, this is Jesus showing this by example. And later on down the road, he's going to give an even, you know, in some ways an even greater example. But it all comes from that same heart of giving himself on behalf of others and taking care of others first. So that's John 13. So let's go to, I want to go to, so many places we could go. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. So I want to pull this into the new body here, into the one body, into the New Testament truths, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. So many times, you know, the true stuff is, the good stuff from God's word is so many times just it's a perspective change, you know. So we're going to look here. We all know this section pretty well, I think, in Romans 12. But this transformation that can take place in a man or woman's life when the Word of God dwells in our mind and we're transformed by it. Verse 1 says here, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Just a little side note, you know, the scriptures here just got done telling us how the old man's dead, right? And we live by way of that Spirit of God in Christ. So we're presenting these bodies as a living sacrifice by way of that Spirit of God. "Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world." Don't be conformed to the way the world does it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're trying it out. You know, I mean, the folks that come to my fellowship probably get tired of me saying this, but I think about it like a bicycle. You know, you buy a new bike, you don't know how it works. You might have read up on it. Maybe it's the best bike out there. You're getting a specialized, you got the nice seat, you got the right handlebars, gear shifters are all there. But until you jump on that bike and prove it, you don't really know how it works, do you? So we're here to put the Word of God on in our minds, where we're renewing our mind to the Word of God. And this is a continual thing, right? We're constantly doing that. We're going to His Word. We're speaking the Word to one another. We're singing songs. We got songs playing in the background. Whatever it takes to get that Word in our mind and our heart, it transforms us so that we can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Which, if you read the rest of Romans, you know has everything to do with you no longer being dead in sin, but now alive unto God in Jesus Christ, right? So here you are, you're alive unto God, and we can prove this new life that we have. We can live it by that transformation that takes place when the Word of God holds sway in our heart and our mind, when that's what we think about, when that's what we live by. That's pretty amazing, right? Look at this. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, by the ministry that God gave me, to everyone that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." That measure of faith is that which God has given us to believe. It's also that it's that measure of faith that was won by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's everything that he did on the cross. He believed God. He brought this thing to pass, and this has now been given to us. That's the measure of faith. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Do you think it's by mistake that God linked this with renewed mind? Yeah. No, right? It leads right into it. Don't be conformed to the world the way they do things, but rather be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove it in where? One body. We're talking about the one body. "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that given unto us." Hey, Paul's telling us this by the grace given unto him. And he's now saying, we've been given gifts differing according to the grace that's been given to us. "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." Is that your proportion of faith and my proportion of faith? And it's differing because some of us believe better than others. Is that what that's talking about? Mm-hmm. The proportion of faith is referring back to that measure of faith that God has already given to be believed, which is all the things he did in Christ. Mm-hmm. You see? It's very simple. So we prophesy. If I've been given grace to prophesy here, I'm going to do it according to that same measure of faith. Or ministry, waiting on measuring according to that same proportion of faith. Or if I'm going to teach, it's going to be on teaching according to that same proportion of faith. Or exhortation on exhortation, he that gives it with simplicity. He that rules or is a leader with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without a mask. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Hey, does the world do that? No. If they do, most of the time it's just an act, right? Or maybe they love the people that love them. Right, it's conditional, right? You know, what can I get out of this? You know, oh, I love you so much because of how you make me feel. But that's not the love of God. And the love of God is that we're loving without a mask, regardless of what we receive in return, because it's not based on what someone else has done, will do, can do for me. It has everything to do with that same measure of faith which was completed on the cross and when God raised him from the dead. You see, and that never changes. So if that's the song in my heart, if that's the words on my lips and in my mind, and that's where my heart's at, there's transformation takes place. Now I'm living this perfect will of God in this one body of Christ. You see that? Isn't it beautiful? It's very, very simple. And so then we're doing that. So whatever it is we're doing by that same proportion of faith. Go ahead over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start in verse 8, because it's a great running start here. It says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." Have fervent love. For charity or love, that love of God, covers a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man has received the gift. What gift are we talking about there?
Holy Spirit.
Gift, the Holy Spirit, right? Yep. Every man has received the gift. That's you women also. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Isn't that awesome? Boy, so God has given us, we've all been given that same gift of Holy Spirit, which was all done by our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, of believing, right? It's that same measure of faith we've all been given to believe what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And we've been given that gift. So even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of that multifaceted grace of God. If any man, I love this. This is so practical. Verse 11, look at this. If anyone's going to talk, do it like you're talking for God. Okay? If you're going to talk, if you're going to say something, speak as the oracle of God. Does that make sense? If anyone ministers, do it as of the ability which God gives. That word gives is fun. That word gives is choregeo. It means choreograph, as in like a dance instructor would choreograph a bunch of people together. If you're going to minister, do it according to the way that God choreographs you to minister. I just think that's pretty amazing, because I think about like a dance group, you know, a bunch of people dancing together. If you're all doing your own thing, I guess some might call it modern art, but it's not what we're going for, right? But if we're choreographed together, not one person is the star, but everyone's working together, and it winds up being a beautiful thing. But it's because it's together, because God has choreographed this thing. So we're doing this as God directs. That shouldn't be a strange concept to us, but it's just beautiful to see it. And look at this. Let's read that again. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Awesome. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. What I love about this is where we started in Ephesians 1. Very clearly, the body of Christ is unto the praise of his glory. And it never, in that section, is not talking about anything that you and I have done in our walks, even in our renewing of our mind or anything. Really, all gives us credit for in one spot is trusting him when we heard the gospel. That was our part. The rest of it, God did. It was by his will, his idea, and it praises him. Okay? And so here we are in chapter 4 of Ephesians. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." That's another one of those great words. We heard that in Romans 12, did we not? This is what Father wants us to do because of everything that he's done. He beseeches us that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy, walk in balance with the calling that you've been called with. That's amazing. So we've been called to this amazing calling, which we saw in Ephesians 1, is to the praise of God's glory. It already glorifies Him. We've been called to this thing, and now we're asked to simply walk in balance with it. Let the actions of your life, the thoughts of your mind, be in balance with what it is that I've done in Christ and who it is that I've made you. That's what He's asking us to do. How? Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, holding one another up in love and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep or guard that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That unity of Spirit is already existent. God did it. It praises His glory. Now just guard that thing. Guard that thing. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This should sound familiar because we just looked at this in Romans 12. There was a list there in Romans 12. There's going to be a list here. No list it takes priority over the other in terms of importance in this body of Christ. And I know that because we all know that because we know how to read Romans or Corinthians 13, right? 1 Corinthians 13. So look at this. Unto every one of us is given grace, every one of us, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Let's drop down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Does anyone have that in NIV by any chance? Tristan, what did yours say? You have ESV, right?
I have NASB.
NASB, oh. Got all sorts of B's around here. Is it good? Is it decent?
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
All right, read it out loud.
11?
11 through 12, yep.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay. And that's cool. I think you all know this, but what that is, it's not that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that they could perfect the saints, so that they could work the ministry, so that they could edify the body of Christ. Not that they don't do many of those things, but it's that they might, for the perfecting of the saints, so that those saints can work the ministry unto the edifying of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So the gift, that grace given, is grace given. It's given to all of us. It's a gift. That might be a gift in that person's life, but the purpose of that is not so that person can walk with God in a special way above you and me. You see, it's given to them for the purpose of taking care of us. Well, if that's their grace given gift, I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying the grace given gift that you have is so that you can help us to walk with God too. You see what I'm saying? This is and so instead of the focus being on me trying to grow in Christ, my concern should be that you grow in Christ. You see? And so that I have that same heart that my Lord Jesus Christ had, which was not one of concern about himself, but one of concern for you and for me. You understand? Where that was his heart. He was washing our feet. Yet he was the master, but he's washing our feet. You see? It's very different from the way the world sees things. I'm willing to bet that as we continue to go at this with that kind of heart, that there will be unbelievable growth in your own life. But not because you're trying so hard for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That this is what we'd be a doer of the word. Because now we're walking in balance with the calling that we've been called to. Because you haven't been called to be the man of God. You've been called to be part of a body of Christ. That's what we've been called. And that body of Christ glorifies God. Right? So if I'm going to be in this dance choreographed properly, I better be following God's way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? Instead of trying to do my own thing and being a silo, in the body of Christ. Okay, so you see the whole point there. So look at this. It's for that work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But look at this, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't that glorify God? Mm-hmm. Right? Because it already does, by the way. And so our part is simply just to walk in it. That's what it is. But if I'm so focused on all these noble things, like reading the word and praying and everything, all for my benefit, I'm still missing the whole point. And that's religion. It's like very close, it's like parallel, but it's not the same thing. Where me, right? But that's not the heart of our Lord. So it not be the heart of his servants either. Okay. There's so much. I mean, we could keep reading all through the rest of Ephesians and not be disappointed, because there's so much practical stuff. I mean, in light of that, just reading through this, I'm going to, for the sake of time, we're going to go to Philippians, but there's these sections where it talks about being renewed in the spirit of our mind, putting on that new man, putting away lying. Why do I not lie to you? You know, it's bigger than just there's a rule that says thou shalt not lie, you know, and that's great, but that's not why. You're part of me and I'm part of you. Why would I lie to you if I'm concerned about you? Right?
Yeah.
Why would I steal from you if I'm concerned about you? Instead, I go get a job and make some money so that I can give to you. See the difference? And it all comes from that heart, that one body, understanding who we are. Mm-hmm. And that this is what glorifies God. Let's go to Philippians. We'll finish up in Philippians chapter 2. Isn't it freeing, though? To your heart. I don't know, it's freeing to mine. Like, okay, good, I don't have to work on me. I can work on you. No, I'm kidding. That's not the point is that we can take care of one another. And that's like freeing to your heart, you know. And now in that place, looking to God together to take care of one another, it's like, okay, that's good. Because I know God will take care of you. I know he will. I've seen him do it. All right, chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Don't do anything through strife or vainglory. Boy, isn't that just so putrid compared to what God did in Christ? My goodness, in this body of Christ. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Man, if I see this thing straight, there's no room for strife or vainglory. Why would I ever want to puff myself up above you or you above me? It's just that it's just so contrary. This doesn't even match. Doesn't even fit with this thing. But instead, lowliness of mind. Each of us ought to esteem the other better than self. I love that. Better than self. Self came in with the garden. You realize that? Adam wasn't even aware of self, really, until he ate of that tree. And the first thing he does, he becomes turned in and concerned about himself and protecting himself. He doesn't care about his wife. Doesn't care about God. He cared about himself. That's it. That's where self came in. So self is not, like, it's not the thing that's going to get us anywhere, right? And this is not, the image of Christ is not self. That's the old stuff. We can we're past that. That's dead. We're now alive in Christ, folks, and so we esteem others better than self. Simple. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I love that. I love it. If we didn't know it already, we now have a little insight into the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ when he's going to the cross. Let this mind be in you. Instead of looking on his own things, he's looking on the things of others. Instead of on self, he's considering you. You see, that's the mind that Christ had as he's going into the cross. And it says here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, equality with God was not something that he was trying to grasp or hold on to. But instead he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for that reason, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Man, what a joy to know that you're not Lord anymore of your own life, that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. There's a lot of rest in that. You don't call the shots anymore, he does, and so that's good. That means that responsibility is off your shoulders. Now all you need to do is follow. That's all. You look to him. You look to what God has done in Christ. You go to his word for instruction. You wait on God for instruction from him. You know, it's very simple. Our lives have gone from being Lord of our own life and making our own decisions to simply looking to our God and our Lord Jesus Christ and waiting. That's actually a restful thing. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with reverence and or with fear and trembling or reverence and obedience. For it is God which works in you, you as a body of Christ. It's God which works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And it's all to the glory, to the praise and glory of his grace. Okay? So that's kind of where I want to land. But simple. Take our eyes off ourselves is always the answer. Just kind of get our eyes off ourselves, get it onto the Father and all his glory and the things he's done. And then in that place, take care of one another. There'll be growth all over the place. You know? Mm-hmm. And God is so good and gracious. So I love you guys. That's what I want to share.